Hey everyone, I'm Jeff Gibber, the President and Chief Strategist of True Voice Media. I'm also the host of Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast where I bring on fascinating people from all walks of life and pick their brains about social media, entrepreneurialism, success, and so much more. For around the next 30 minutes, I'm going to be having some incredible conversations. You should stick around and listen in. So without further delay, let's get started. This is episode 31 of True Voice Media Conversations. It's our podcast, and today I have from all the way across our country, well, maybe not all the way, but most of the way across our country, in the fabulous state of Utah, AJ Wilcox. AJ, thank you for coming on to True Voice Media Conversations. Why don't you introduce yourself to the people that are listening?
Well, Jeff, thanks so much for having me. I love the invite. So my background, I'm a longtime online marketing guy. I used to be heavy into SEO, heavy into PPC. At a tech company here about four years ago, I started going really heavily into B2B and kind of stumbled onto LinkedIn advertising, had a ton of success, left that company after about 3 years because I saw no one else in the industry was talking about LinkedIn advertising, no one giving it any mind. I was killing it on it. And so I figured there has to be an opportunity, decided to scratch that entrepreneurial itch and started my own little agency. So here I am. That brings us to today.
Awesome. How long ago did you say you started it?
I was about a year. I guess we're 11 months right now.
All right. So the question is, have you reached that point where you have had those nights where you can't sleep because you're terrified? Because that's a fun moment for you in the entrepreneurial journey. I look forward to it if you haven't had it yet.
I had that for the first little while. My wife and I are quite conservative. We've got three kids with one on the way and, you know, deciding to leave a job where, you're not getting a steady salary was very difficult for us. So I had quite a few sweaty nights.
Yeah, that's pretty bold.
But yeah, everything's great now. So
that's awesome. So you came from the world of paid search and online marketing in kind of in that paid space. So as a B2B marketer, LinkedIn comes out. It's obviously a good next step for you. But one, was it your experience in paid search that allowed you to kind of seamlessly flow into that? You know, what was it about the LinkedIn platform that really stood out to you? And when did you get involved with LinkedIn ads first and see any success?
Yeah. So in my interview for that tech company, one of the questions they asked is about my B2B experience. And I told them point blank, I don't think B2B is any different than B2C. I mean, this was me talking in my ignorance as a guy who'd been doing this very heavily for B2C for 4+ years at that point. Because I looked at it and said, okay, SEO, you're looking after keywords. PPC, you're looking after keywords. And it doesn't matter whether it's a B2B or a B2C focused keyword, it's still a keyword. Still bid and that comes through. I started to understand a little bit more when I kind of got into the space and realized that B2B is all about longer business cycles, offline conversions, and all of these elements that you really have to be a more sophisticated marketer or at least head that direction mentally to understand. So now I get why they were asking the question. But coming from the world of paid search, there's some really great things that happen with paid search. I mean, I would tell any of my clients, you should be running AdWords and Bing ads. Like there's no question about it. And the reason why is because when someone types a keyword, they're indicating a lot of intent, right? Like they wouldn't be typing a keyword and doing an active search unless they had a project on the table, unless they had budget, not necessarily budget for it, but a project on the table and were investigating. So it generates all these really high quality leads. But then the problem is once you have these high quality leads, the sales team will come back and say, all of these are super hot, but hey, by the way, do we have a way to qualify these guys? Because I'm getting lots of like janitors, mid-level people, all those kind of unqualified traffic. And so what I found when I started getting into persona-based advertising, like a LinkedIn, like a Facebook, like a Twitter ads, you get control over who the person is, not necessarily when they see the ad, but you get this ability to reach the ideal person that your sales team's going to love when they finally get them on the phone.
So my brain is spinning because I've literally been just writing down all these different things that you've been triggering in me. So I want to go through them one by one. So the first thing you say is that, when you kind of first came into it, you said there's really no difference between B2B and B2C. And you kind of found out the nuances. And you know what? I think you're both right and you're wrong. Both, at the point where you thought that, and now depending on how your views have evolved. But I've always thought that this, it's the same idea. You kind of have to do your research, decide whether or not you're interested in it. Kind of, you just have to decide. I always say the big difference between B2B and B2C is that there's more people you have to get buy-in from.
Yes.
So that's one of the big things. That's why the buying cycles are generally longer. You know, in a personal sort of situation, you might check with your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your husband or your wife, or your kids or whatever it is. But when you're dealing with buying, you know, maybe $1 million project, as a B2B, you obviously have to check with a lot more people. So that's one thing. The other thing that, and somebody said this to me recently that I thought it really made a lot of sense for the B2B, B2C distinction, is that in B2B, your job as a marketer is to make your buyer look good. And in B2C, your goal is to make your buyer feel good. So in B2C, it's really more their intent is different. It's more of a personal satisfaction in general than it is when it's for a business transaction where they have to really get that buy-in and they have to look good for their bosses. So it's just first things that got triggered. The second thing is you mentioned the Facebook ads and persona-based buying. And we see that in Twitter and in Facebook and LinkedIn. And I want to get to Facebook and Twitter a little bit later on. But do you think that we're going to fight? You had mentioned that you think, you know, the search ads and the Bing ads, all of those things are intent driven, and that's great. And then you talk about persona based. Are we going to see an overlap where you can start to target persona based with keywords as well? Because I haven't seen too much of that.
Yeah, that's a really good question. This is something I stay up late thinking about these kinds of things. I'm geeky. Ooh,
me
like
too.
That. But so my thought is, if Google could do persona-based advertising, we see this inside of Google AdWords, where you have affinities and categories and industry, you know, that kind of thing. I know Google's trying, and I know Google has a lot of data, but the problem is they don't have job title and professional persona information. And I've seen from places like Facebook, Twitter, other data partners where data partners will attempt to fill in that persona, that business persona, where it just doesn't produce the best quality of data. Whereas LinkedIn has that data. I mean, that's all LinkedIn has is our professional. So assuming that Google can eventually figure out a way to do that, I guarantee they'll try to do that. They'll try to say, let's find people who have intent at the same time as fitting these criteria and being qualified. But I think we're still a ways off from that. I don't know when Google's going to be able to find a way to get access to that information, nor do I know if they even want it.
Well, I think this was kind of the unfortunate lackluster performance of Google Plus, but it's either social needs to bring search into the fray or search needs to bring social into the fray, because that's where the differences lie, I guess, is that, you know, if I was on Facebook and that was a place where I actually searched for information the way I do on search, as opposed to, you know, connecting with friends and doing that sort of thing, if I went up to a search bar and typed something in and I was shown relevant search results along with social search results, then I guess that could work. On the other hand, had Google started to build our personas and got everybody to actually fill out their profiles, now we're getting much more rich data in there about what's important to us in that space. So I think it would have to be the convergence of search and social, and who knows when that'll actually happen.
It's true. Yeah, and we do use both platforms for very different things. I mean, like you said, there are certain things that you are going to ask friends about, and there are certain things you're going to query the internet to find.
Yeah,
so it'd be really interesting to see where those converge.
So right now, there's really no intent-based advertising options on LinkedIn, right? It's all kind of persona-based, who you're going after based upon who they are.
Yeah. I think I'm behind that statement. Yeah.
This is like not even based on expertise, just shooting the ideas around here. Wouldn't it make sense then for LinkedIn to put in some sort of a section on the profile where you could kind of put an intent for what you're looking for? And that way, when advertisers are searching, they could actually target you based upon that profile data.
That would be really cool, actually. I mean, if we could, because we do have those profile updates, we can do personal updates, and when someone's asking something about a SaaS vendor that does HR or that kind of thing to get weigh in, that'd be really cool if you could target that by keyword.
Yeah, LinkedIn, if you're listening, we've got ideas.
And they are always listening. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
They're not Big Brother, but but yeah, I think that'd be pretty stellar. If any additional targeting data that I get, I will totally use.
So how are you working with clients right now in the – and is the majority of what you're doing right now in the LinkedIn advertising space?
Yeah. In fact, when I left to pursue LinkedIn advertising, I essentially said to myself, you know, I have a lot of skills in SEO and PPC and all kinds of forms of social, but you know, the one thing that I'm best at in the entire world that I believe is LinkedIn advertising. It's the one thing I can give to the world that that I don't think any other human at this time can give. And so I essentially said, yep, I'm going to give up everything and focus entirely on LinkedIn, even though there are paychecks in other areas and those are hard to turn down.
No, I totally get it. Well, then let's dig in on that a little bit. And I want to turn the attention later on, like I said, to a little bit of Facebook advertising and Twitter advertising because you're in the B2B space. But let's stick with LinkedIn for right now. What are some things that you're noticing that you see people just off the bat are doing wrong? Like what's the biggest beginner mistake moving into LinkedIn advertising that you can correct right here, right now on this podcast?
Okay, so two things that I see very often. Number one, naming campaigns after the content that's in them rather than the audience that you're going after. And number two is too wide of audiences that don't teach you anything. So I may have to ask you to remind me what the second one was, but I'll jump in here to naming audiences. So on LinkedIn, the structure, if you don't know it, the structure looks like this. You have a campaign that represents an audience, and then inside of that campaign, I think of it like a bucket, you get to place as many ads essentially as you need, and those ads are then served to that audience. What I see a lot of times is someone will go into the platform and they'll say, okay, I'm pitching this white paper on, let's say, enterprise finance or something. You take this white paper into LinkedIn and you go, okay, I know I want to serve up this piece of content. The first thing LinkedIn asks you is, what do you want to name this campaign? And you go, oh, this piece of content. And you call it enterprise finance. And the problem with that is that piece is at some point going to get old. LinkedIn and all of these social channels, because they're persona-based and not intent-based, it is a display ad that at some point you're going to wear out. Once everyone's already seen it, no one wants to click on it anymore, you need to retire it. So you start with a campaign that represents an audience. As soon as you retire that enterprise finance piece and you're ready to launch something new, you don't have to scrap that whole audience and recreate it. Use the same audience and just substitute content and run it through. Everything there, pretty understandable. Did I like confuse anything?
No, you didn't confuse anything. It immediately raised the question to me. There's no current way aside from duplicating an existing campaign or adding to a campaign. There's no way to create like an audience and have it saved as an audience segment or anything in LinkedIn just yet, is there?
No, not just yet.
Okay, yeah, because Facebook has the custom audiences now, so you can say, you know, here's what I'm looking for in yada yada, and you save those audiences, but you can't do that in LinkedIn just yet.
Yeah. What I do is essentially when I go talk to a client, I will open up LinkedIn and I will build an audience in my own profile. So I'll say, you know, who is it you're looking for? You're looking for HR people of, you know, director plus seniority. And so I'll build the audience. And then when I finally do get access to their account, I'll use a third party software called AdStage that allows me to pull the targeting from one account and stick it into another. And so I'll create the audience like that. And then I have essentially this template that I can copy over. If I have another client who's also targeting HR Director Plus, I can just grab that targeting and, you know, copy paste.
That is very badass.
Yeah.
I feel like LinkedIn should be working with people like you who are, you know, building a business on the back of the platform to help you serve the clients better, because ultimately it just brings more revenue into LinkedIn, which is obviously what they're trying to do. And you know, they obviously are one of the best at monetizing outside of advertising with the premium accounts and the HR directors and all of that. But it seems like they should be working with people like you. We have to somehow get this episode in the hands of someone at LinkedIn. I think we can do it.
Okay, I'll hand it off. That works. Yeah. And I totally agree with you. I think to LinkedIn's detriment is the fact that they have so many revenue streams. It's really easy to say, wow, every HR recruiter in the whole world has to have our software. We make so much money from that. Cool. Let's concentrate on that. And oh yeah, we have this ad product, but feel free to ignore it. Not a big deal. I think that was to LinkedIn's detriment, but I can tell you right now, I'm seeing a lot more activity around ads. I think they're starting to understand the value.
Yeah. So the second one you said was that the audience is too wide. Tell us more about that. What you said, that's the second main thing that people are screwing up right now. What do you mean by that? And then two, how can they fix it?
Okay. So the concept is here that when let's say you choose this audience and you say, I want to talk to both sales and marketing in the United States for enterprise-sized companies. Because you say, hey, my message is valid to both sales and marketing. The problem with that is if you are successful, what does that tell you about your audience? What do you know? And you come back and you go, oh, actually, I don't know what was successful. Was it because I resonated with sales? Was it because I resonated with marketing? And of course, they're going to think differently. They're going to act differently. And so I just found a way to have my campaign give me leads, but teach me nothing about who I'm marketing to. Whereas if you were to take that same campaign, split it into two, and say campaign A is marketing in the United States for enterprise-sized companies, campaign B is sales, and then you run both of those two and you find out, wow, I am not resonating with marketers I can't get them to click on it, but when they do, I have a really high click or a really high conversion rate versus sales. These guys will click like crazy, but I don't have that high of a conversion rate. And so you start to be able to see these nuances and realize, okay, I need to bid sales down because they're costing me too much. Marketers, I need to change my messaging. I mean, you have all these options for what you can learn about how you interact with your audience, and it helps you develop your personas as a marketer and not just help me develop my leads right now.
So when you're running these ads, and I have a couple questions out of that. The first one would be that you're running these ads, and let's say you do it to sales and marketing versus sales, and then another one to marketing. The more you niche down your audience, the smaller your audience becomes, the more targeted it becomes. Doesn't that increase the cost per impression and cost per click?
I think in general it does. The nice thing is, though, that you don't have wasted impressions on people who may be fringe. And so, with AdWords, you end up with a lot of click fraud. You end up with lots of invalid and unqualified clicks. I would much rather pay an extra 30 cents for a click and know that it was from someone in exactly my target.
So the data and the lack of waste that comes along with being more targeted, you think is definitely worth it at the difference in cost and price?
I do think so. Now, this all has to be measured. I mean, this is my caveat is, LinkedIn, the clicks are in a lot of verticals at a premium. I mean, if you're paying between $6 and $8 a click on LinkedIn and your clicks are only $4 on AdWords, you're going to come to me and you're going to say, dang, AJ, I don't know if I'm going to advertise on LinkedIn because it's really expensive. And so what you're going to do is you're going to, target sales, you're going to target marketing, you're going to target them in different ways and different seniorities. And then you're going to go back and measure and you're going to say, wow, we do great with managers. We do not as well with VPs. And you're going to be able to say, okay, let's stop targeting VPs. Let's increase our bids and budgets for managers. And these are all optimization decisions you can make. And it may turn out to be that you go, wow, on LinkedIn, we don't target VPs. Like, we're going to be done there. And those are all decisions that you get to learn. So not everything has an ROI.
So that starts out where you kind of start your campaign out and you target your four different titles, let's say, and then you look at the data coming back of who actually clicked through and who performed best. Or are you actually running separate campaigns for each of them?
I actually do. I split my campaigns very granularly. So where most people might have two or three campaigns in an account, I will create 64.
Wow. Got it. Okay. So I'm starting to get a better sense of this. Now you are really getting down into super targeted, super granular. You're making your messaging maybe even targeted to the individual role and title of that particular person to see how it performs.
Oh, so absolutely.
You're almost A/B testing at each super niche level rather than A/B testing at the highest level and then kind of building it out and building it out and building it out. What about creative? Are you, let's say you have three different types of creative, one with a picture, one with an animation, and one with, graphics with words overlaid. Are you running three separate campaigns or are you putting them into LinkedIn altogether and letting it optimize what's working best?
Yeah. So as a marketer who understands having all of these different assets, and of course you want data really fast. You want to know if that animation or if the static image or if the overlay, you want to know what's working best. I think most marketers will say, well, great, let's put all three of those together in one campaign and just kind of let them fight it out. What I've found though is that LinkedIn, similar to other auction platforms, LinkedIn's not the only one who does this, but they only make money when someone clicks. And so they will tend to make that decision very early on which ad is the winner. So I only like to launch two things against it. I will do one A/B test in every single campaign. And so let's say I want to test maybe the animation versus the static. very first off, I will put those two in, and then once I find a winner between those two, then I'll put in the overlay. But I'm always testing two ads per campaign, because I've noticed if you do any more than that, there's a really good chance that LinkedIn's going to make the call early and not give impressions to an asset that you would really love to actually evaluate later.
Wow. You're making me rethink my entire structure for how I've gone about using LinkedIn ads.
Awesome.
Talk to me a little bit about cost per click versus cost per impression, and how you go about using the two of them strategically on LinkedIn. Is there a time where cost impression even makes sense? I've always found that the click-through rate on a cost per impression is abysmal in general, whereas a cost per click, it feels like it just works a lot better. What can you tell me about how to use those two and when to use those two?
Yeah, so I can go really deep on this one. Essentially, I've done a lot of tests where I say, okay, I'm going to run this campaign on cost per impression, this one on cost per click. And what I find is that because LinkedIn is display and you are showing the same type of ad to people over a longer term, what's going to happen is at some point, and I've found this usually to be between 28 and 33 days, some point you're going to fully saturate your audience and your click-through rate's going to dive. And so if you are paying by impression, you will see your effective cost per click at some point skyrocket. And so you'll go from paying $6 a click where you're like, ooh, I like this, to all of a sudden you turn away and look back and you're paying $26 a click and you go, ah, not worth it. So what I tell people is I recommend always, always, always bidding on cost per click, because you have very tight control over it. LinkedIn can't pull the wool over your eyes or spend wildly without you understanding. And then if you end up with, this is in sponsored updates, if you end up with a sponsored update of over 1% click-through rate, at that point, I set a calendar reminder for 4 days from now. I switch it to CPM. I start getting a discount on my cost per click, because that's the point at which it makes a lot of sense to switch over. I'll get discounts for 4 days. At that point, it'll usually catch back up and start to come down and match where my cost per click was before. Then I'll flip it back. So I monitor my CPMs very closely.
Wow, I'm loving that. That is awesome. That is so cool. So, wow. Okay, so let's pivot just a little bit. I want to talk to you a little bit about Facebook ads and Twitter ads, because you're in the B2B space, and you know, most of our clients are in the B2B space. We work with a couple of B2C brands, but you know, in the B2B world, we've got businesses that are trying to advertise what they're doing to other businesses, and that doesn't just take place on LinkedIn. While that is the professional network, in a lot of industries, you see a really high saturation of people on Twitter, and even on Facebook. If you look at, you know, how prolific some people have become on Facebook that are in B2B space, like if you know Robert Scoble, for instance, you know, that's become one of his go-to platforms is Facebook, and he gets a tremendous amount of attention there and a tremendous amount of influence and connection with people, and then there's groups and all that sort of good stuff. So we're seeing, I guess, that the B2B audience is no longer just and really from an engagement perspective, that LinkedIn is far below what you would see on Facebook in terms of engagement. So we're seeing that there's people who are doing their organic marketing on Facebook and on Twitter. What is your take on Facebook and Twitter ads for B2B clients? And have you dabbled in that at all, or are you really strictly focusing on LinkedIn?
Yeah, so right now I'm very focused on LinkedIn, but it doesn't mean that I haven't used the other platforms and fully evaluated them. There are some fantastic things about all of them. I will be the biggest advocate in the world for LinkedIn, but I will tell everyone you should also be advertising on Facebook and on Twitter. Twitter when it makes sense, Facebook always. So there are fantastic things. Like, for instance, the fact that Facebook now has B2B targeting, quite a few of the same targeting elements that we use on LinkedIn regularly. You have things like seniority, you have things like company, those sorts of targeting are great. What I've found is that on LinkedIn, when you combine two B2B targeting methods or two different dimensions, you end up with an audience size that makes sense. With Facebook, when you say, I want job title, you know, this big grouping, and I want industry this big grouping, you stick them together and your audience size just tends to kind of evaporate. So it's a lot more challenging to find your exact audience on Facebook. However, when you do it, you're going to end up with a cost per click that's 1/5 to 1/10 as much as your LinkedIn. And so what I really like using Facebook for is let's find a way to at least semi-accurately, if not very accurately, target your target market, run a lot more volume through it in order to test your sales funnel. I would much rather develop someone's sales process for B2B through $50 clicks than I would, you know, $6, $7, $8 clicks.
So on like the landing page, when you get them there, working on what's the, you know, A/B testing that page, trying to figure out how to get and doing that at $1.50, and then flipping over to the higher cost per click on LinkedIn, where you can be a little bit more targeted, a little bit more granular. You're paying more per click. So that's what you're saying.
Yes. Yeah. And it's so much easier to scale on – I can't say easier. It's so much more possible to scale on LinkedIn because the data is so much more accurate. And there is a larger audience of professionals, especially that fit your criteria. But the volume is so easy to get on Facebook. And so there are lots of things going for Facebook. Their custom audiences are a thing of beauty. I absolutely love the retargeting on Facebook. I would love it if I could upload a list of emails to LinkedIn and show only ads to them. I would love if I could use LinkedIn's retargeting. But we don't. So I use Facebook's retargeting, and I use Twitter's retargeting and AdWords retargeting. And we'll talk about Twitter here in a second, but I'm totally of the opinion that we can't be a single channel marketer. Now, this sounds really idiotic coming from a single channel marketer, but it's not about a channel. You can't just say, oh, LinkedIn is my bread and butter and I'm going to ignore everything else, because that's not how the consumer is. The consumer is multifaceted. We are on Facebook. We are on Twitter. We are on LinkedIn. And so it's more about being in front of the people on a regular basis, I think, than it is being really strong on one platform. So I highly recommend just being everywhere, and it takes a lot of work. That's hard for people to balance that many networks. Okay, on Twitter, Twitter's B2B targeting is quite a bit more difficult. There are two really good situations where Twitter's targeting works really well for B2B. Number one is a hashtag. If you're going after, let's say, HR executives, you can go search, find out the latest HR conference that happened, and then target people who use that hashtag in that city, and boom, you get conference attendees who are, you know, obviously had the money to attend a conference. It's beautiful.
Can you do that with the groups on LinkedIn? Is that something that you found any success with? I know that you can target people, I guess, based on what sort of groups that they're in, right?
Yeah. I've actually tried to replicate that several times, where you take a group that's like the conferences LinkedIn group, and usually that works quite well. But it also doesn't create very large audience sizes, because usually those groups will have between, say, 3 and 8,000 people. Mm-hmm. And because it is display and there are pretty low click-through rates, it's difficult to get a ton of traffic from them. Whereas it's a lot easier on Twitter to say, let's target all followers of the company's handle or the conference's handle, and then you get access to everyone who's interested in that subject matter. So two really great things from Twitter. And it's fantastic for B2C. They have the same data partnership that Facebook does, where you can target who bought which boat 3 years ago to sell them, I don't know, whatever wears out on a boat 3 years in.
But, not a lot of boating in Utah?
There is, but I just don't take part in that scene.
Fair points. So let's, you know, this can be Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever, but I think mostly we're going to get back to LinkedIn. I have a couple other questions for you on that. And you may have some thoughts on Facebook or Twitter on this, but have you noticed any sort of, it's the right way to put this, but have you noticed any impact of the effect of organic social media marketing on the effectiveness of your paid social media advertising? So just taking LinkedIn, if I'm posting regularly to my LinkedIn company page, does that impact and improve in any way the effectiveness of my LinkedIn paid content? And as an individual, you can excuse me, you can promote as an individual on LinkedIn too, right?
Yeah. That is a really, really difficult study to complete. So amazing question. But I haven't ever been able to test that. My theory is that it does play in. There is a very definite connection there, but I would guess it's light. On Facebook, because all of your company content doesn't go out to everyone, there's limited delivery. I think it's pretty safe to say that Facebook is more difficult to measure that. LinkedIn, it does go out to everyone, but people don't spend a whole lot of time on the network. So anyway, this is a long way of me saying I don't really know. I would guess it probably has minimal impact.
Got it.
But so, let me tell you this, though. I have noticed a huge impact when I'm running ads for a client. Their sales team will tell me when they're doing organic outreach and when they're prospecting, they will connect with someone and the conversation goes to, oh, yeah, I've heard of you guys before. And so advertising helps lubricate those sales conversations.
Got it. So what about – I don't know if this is an option on LinkedIn because I've never looked for it. I've only done, you know, particular types of campaigns. But are there any campaigns on LinkedIn where you're trying to grow the network of the company page? So like sort of increasing followers for your company page. Is that available? Is that a thing?
So I have run follower campaigns before. It's not really a thing. That they don't have like an ad type that lends itself quite well to that. But here about 6 months ago, they released a new UI update for LinkedIn. And what you'll notice now is that with a sponsored update that occurs in your feed, right very prominently at the top right of every one, there will be a follow button, like a company follow button.
Got it.
And it's essentially every sponsored update you run gives you the call to action and possibility to now follow that company.
Gotcha. So running those sponsored updates, no matter what, does give you the option to possibly increase your network. And then at the same time, that gives you the ability that when you do post organic content, you have a greater possibility of reaching an audience.
So absolutely.
Another sort of a good reason to advertise. So, do you have any, I want to dig in a little bit more on the LinkedIn things and kind of pick your brain for best practices. So anybody out there has some good things to take away from this. I went to a conference recently and somebody shared an interesting stat that on Facebook, there is a particular type of content that has a dramatically higher click-through rate in general, generally speaking. This is obviously not always, but generally speaking, much higher than everything else. Do you know what it would be?
Ooh, I'm going to say infographics.
Interesting. Good guess. That was definitely one of the options that he presented. It was, and you're actually on the right track, but it was videos that are particularly animation videos.
Oh.
So animation videos have a much higher click-through rate on Facebook, according to, you know, this one presenter and the statistics that he showed in his A/B testing of different types of content. So I'm sure it's not true across the board. I'm always wary of aggregate stats. But have you had any sort of interesting spikes or trends that you've noticed in terms of the type of content that's performing best in these sponsored ads, whether they're, you know, real photographs of people, are they graphics, are they, you know, content that's about a white paper or anything in particular like that? Is there anything that you can give that's a, hey, you should probably try this because it works well?
Wow, I'm really interested that you bring this up because this is something I've been thinking about recently. I've tested a lot of different image-based content on LinkedIn, and my very best performing assets ever have been illustrations. LinkedIn has just recently allowed you to do in-feed video, like you can pull a YouTube video in. So I haven't tested a whole lot of video, but for like a still, the animation has like a visual illustration has tended to perform better than everything else.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Maybe there's some credence to that. Well, it was interesting because the guy who showed me this, I think it was Jeremiah Demaray. I have trouble saying his last name, but he was one of the best closing keynotes I've ever seen. It was the Social Media Strategies Summit. And what he showed is sort of the setup to this was he showed us a video of somebody doing a painting on the street. Like somebody who – like and a crowd of people around him to sort of show us that when we see people creating art live or we see something being doodled or sketched out, we have a natural tendency to want to watch it come together.
Yeah.
You know, like if you – you look like you're similar age to me, but Bob Ross, you remember you would see him paint something. And you're like, you screwed up the whole painting. But then it's like, oh, no, wait. That turned into a happy little tree. Go figure. So, yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's some data behind that. But it's interesting that what you found is that the illustrations have been a good thing.
Yeah. And then as for type of content, I see this all the way across the board. Like you would figure that something very top of funnel in terms of content, very low friction, like a blog post or an infographic would get stellar click-through rates because you're not asking anything of your user. Whereas something like a let's say a webinar where someone has to not only give you their personally identifiable information, but they're also giving you 60 minutes of their day in the middle of a busy day that would be harder to get people to click on, but I just haven't found a trend. I haven't found the ability to say, oh, that type of content will perform, that won't. I think it's all about the title. I think it's all about the subject matter, and people will invest when the subject matter's right.
Have you tried promoting any on LinkedIn content? So, for instance, the LinkedIn publishing platform, it's something that we work with clients a lot on because, you know, you get great reach with it. You know, people are reading right on the platform. One, can you do that? But two, have you found any success with that, you know, promoting on-site content?
Yeah, so you can do that. I mean, you could create an ad and say my destination URL is this Pulse article. You could do that. I've never tested it. I think it's probably not an optimal decision to do that, simply because if I keep the traffic on LinkedIn, I get no analytics about it. I can't collect leads and I can't set a retargeting pixel. So those are kind of three game changers for me, like deal breakers.
Got it. So you can do it, but maybe don't advise it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are great reasons to. If you need to get a Pulse article, if you create an article and you want it picked up by Pulse, you need a lot of traffic really fast. You need a lot of interaction so that it will go widespread. I totally see the value there. But I haven't had any client come to me who's very direct response driven for, you know, getting a low cost per lead and says, hey, why don't you, you know, drive some traffic to my Pulse article.
Got it. All right, cool. Well, you know, just kind of like last questions on this, you know, you being someone who's playing in this platform a lot and you've seen how it's developed over the past couple of years, I'm sure. And, you know, I'm watching the entire social space and seeing that, you know, something from 3 years ago might look completely different than it does today. It's all moving so fast. Since you are somebody working in this space and LinkedIn ads is your baby in this, what would you change about it? What would you add to the platform? How would you, if you could take what exists today and knowing what you know and confronting the different issues that you may face in dealing with it, how would you redesign this platform today?
Ooh, great question. So first of all, I would give it conversion tracking. Second of all, I would give it retargeting. Right now, as the platform stands, it does not have conversion tracking, which means I need to do that manually all myself. And so that's a huge pain. It's a deterrent to a lot of marketers. If you pay attention to sentiment towards LinkedIn advertising online, you will hear repeatedly, it's too hard. The conversion tracking isn't there. It doesn't meet the minimum standard of ad platforms is essentially what people are saying. The one around retargeting, I absolutely love what Facebook and Twitter have done with custom and tailored audiences. They're incredible. So I would love it if I could do the same thing on LinkedIn. I want to be omni-platform. I don't want to just rely on people coming back to LinkedIn.com in order to see my ads. I want to follow them everywhere. I want to be omnipresent. So lots of other things. I mean, I would love to make the targeting more granular. I'd love to be able to target by, like we talked about sentiment, that would be so cool to target by what someone's looking for now. Recency of job move, recency of, I'd say like if I could do recency, if I could do time-based, all that kind of stuff is really sexy.
More targeting, more options, more stuff. Let me play with it. Let me dig in and give me the better metrics and data, everything.
Exactly. Yeah.
Got it. Sounds like a marketer.
Yes.
That's what we want. Give us all of it. See, the problem is that so many, you know, I have these conversations with friends that aren't in this industry, and I talk about the different things that we're able to do sometimes, you know, whether it's cookieing somebody and then targeting with an ad later, and they're like, that's creepy. And I'm like, yeah, it is creepy, but it's all about the marketer, right? There are some marketers who are going to take all of this and they are going to abuse it and they are going to be creepy and be awful. And they are not in their customer's world, not trying to provide that value to them and really honor the fact that they're getting that data, and they'll just be awful. And then there's the marketers who are like, look, I'm trying to solve a problem here and I'm not going to do anything nefarious with your data. I'm just trying to solve a problem. And, you know, it's the state of the industry. So, you know, thank you for carrying the torch for being awesome in what you're doing in B2B. I think, you know, this has been one of my favorite episodes that we've done on conversations so far. You're just a wealth of knowledge in this area. So, you know, definitely love to have you back sometime. But, you know, in the meantime, why don't you tell people where they can go and be social with you, where they can find out more about you, where they can hire you to help them rock out on their LinkedIn ads.
Yeah, sounds great. Well, thanks so much for that awesome awesome lead over here. So you can find me personally. I'm quite active on Twitter, and that's WilcoxAJ on Twitter. My site is b2linked.com. That's the company. A B number two, and then the word linked, like linkedin.com. And so between the two of those, obviously great ways to reach me. I'm planning on producing a course here pretty soon on kind of an intro to LinkedIn advertising for those, the uninitiated that kind of want to dive in. I'm hoping to have that produced in the next month and a half. If you're interested in that, feel free to hit the website and look for the course notification update. Just throw your email address in there. And then when I come out with the course, I'll be sure to email you about it.
That's awesome. And you'll be able to use it for some Facebook retargeting.
Absolutely.
Now you mentioned that, I just remembered that when we, you know, before we got on, we did talk a little bit about workshops. I think that'll just have to be something we table for the next time I have you on. We're putting together a bunch of workshops on our end, and I think it'd be pretty cool for us to do. One of ours is going to be a social selling workshop. So I think what would be pretty cool is maybe have you back. You'll talk a little bit about your LinkedIn workshop. We'll talk a little bit about our social selling. Maybe we'll give away a little bit of the beginning of the courses and just talk a little bit about what it takes to build an online course and to build a workshop these days, because so many people are out there offering content, and it's tough to differentiate and promote it and make sure that it stands out from the crowd. So would love to have you back for that.
Oh yeah. Invite me back anytime. This is awesome.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, for all you out there listening, thanks so much. I hope you got a ton out of this. I mean, I hope you did, because I got a ton out of this. So for those of you out there listening, thanks always for listening. Come back again. We're going to have tons more great guests like AJ, and definitely check him out online. He's got a ton of great stuff to say. So thanks for listening. Drop by iTunes. Tell us you love us. All right. Take care.
Thanks for listening. This has been Conversations, the True Voice Media podcast. And if this is your first time listening, please do us a favor and drop by iTunes or Stitcher and give us a rating. Tell us what you love about the show and what we can do to improve the show. If you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can be notified by email about new episodes. To subscribe, just drop by truevoicemedia.com/conversations. Tune in next time, where I bring on another incredible guest and have another interesting conversation. See you next time.